And I think we've both seen in our practices that failure often can get swept under the rug, right? So something doesn't work. We want to sort of put it away. We don't want to be attached to it. We keep an initiative going. We throw good money after bad, just because maybe I'll be in a different position by the time people figure out that that thing isn't actually working. I've seen this time and time again. I suspect you have as well. So, and one of the things that I've seen that's the most powerful is those organizations that really understand how to share the knowledge that emerges from failure. So if I call ROI return on intelligence, for example, how do we share that? What's the best way to do it so that the failures are reframed as learning?
Well, once the process is in place for actually failing smart, we can share the learnings and insights from our failures by having regular events inside of the organization where hopefully the CEO can participate to actually show that they think this is important. I don't know if you've heard about the Failcon or Fuck Up Nights. Failcon is more, it's a conference, while I think Fuck Up Nights is more like a meetup, and we have them here in Stockholm on a regular monthly basis. And it's entrepreneurs meeting other entrepreneurs, sharing their failures in relationship to trying to build a scalable and repeatable business model so that other people can learn from that and draw insights from that. And that becomes, I think, a very strong message. It sends a very strong message to everyone in the company that failing is something that we should embrace as part of the innovation process. It's something that is expected. So that's the one thing, right? And they can run that in-house.
I have one question. Yeah. Are you starting to see more and more of that in large firms? We know that some companies do it, but they might be sort of the companies that are a little more culturally advanced, let's say, maybe some big tech firms, for example, that have these sort of events for their entrepreneurs. But is this really a trend on the inside of big companies?
Yeah, not that I've picked up. I mean, I've been working with large companies now for 3 years. So it's a relatively short time. Most of my career has been building companies and helping startups. But the handful of companies, Telia, Tieto, SMHI, and Sweden Billerud Korsnäs and others that I've been helping and working with, I've been mentioning this, but it's not something that has actually turned into something they do. And I also run some presentations or keynotes here and there. I have one on the innovation mindset. And in that presentation, I specifically call out to the audience and the people who are watching from the company to co-host Failcon or to do something like that, to share failure. And there's always like one person raising their hand. Yeah, let's do that. And the rest of the room is silent. So yeah. No, it doesn't seem like it's something that they necessarily want to put any time or focus on, which I think is sad. I mean, you know, Intuit, and you know, of Tata, of course, the huge Indian conglomerate. I understand that both of them are using these best failure type awards, and they celebrate failure and they reward failure during those events. I don't know if you know of any other examples, but there are companies that are doing it. Just I haven't come across them myself.
I think that there are some entities within Alphabet that are compensated financially and otherwise for killing projects.
That's
a very, you know, parallel. So in other words, kill it, take a smart risk. If you understand that it's not going to work, if you haven't validated your model, then kill it. And if you do it within a certain time frame, you'll be rewarded for it financially and otherwise, so that you know, we don't continue something just for the sake of continuing it. So I think that's one effective way to address, you know, stringing along these kinds of failures. I also have noticed that in large firms, particularly, you know, while right now entrepreneurship in a way is very bottom-up, kind of grassroots in a way, I think that this idea of failure in large organizations has to be top-down. So we have to see senior leadership making the space for failure, talking about failure, sharing their own failures and why it's relevant to the organization, how they learned from it. And then I think we start to see a little bit of a relaxing of you know, the mindset around, can we really share failure? Having said that, if you're, let's say, newer to an organization, or maybe you feel unclear about what your future role will be. Maybe there's, you know, there are issues within the company. You may not want to come forward with those. Having said that, I will say that the entrepreneurs, that the real kind of the folks that have a lot of passion and purpose around what they're doing, they may not be as concerned and might just go forward and be willing to take a risk even as far as being fired.
Mm-hmm. But the as leadership is talking about that it's okay to fail and so on, it's not enough that they say that. They need to also make sure that they introduce ways of measuring what they're doing in terms of, again, I can think of any process that is more suited for this than lean startup. The idea of identifying most risky assumption, converting to a measurable hypothesis, designing an experiment, running, and then letting the data inform your next move, right? Which makes me think of OKRs as well, and pivot and proceed meetings, or objectives and key results, which was introduced to Google in, I think it was in 1999, by John Doerr, who picked it up at Intel. And that's another tool, framework, process, if you want to call it that way, to help people understand what it means to fail smart or fail forward. Because otherwise it's just going to be lip service again. And then this is the thing. We don't really inform our employees about how they're going to do these things. The failing part, it's nothing's going to happen. So you mentioned Alphabet or Google. They obviously use OKRs. And the great thing about OKRs in terms of spreading the knowledge around the insights and learnings from failing is that OKRs are transparent. Totally 100% transparent from the very top to the bottom. And they even integrated it at Google, as far as I understand, into their telephone directory. So whenever you look up someone's name inside Google, you can click on a link to see their OKR. So you can always see exactly what they're working on a weekly, monthly, and quarterly basis. What is their objective and how are they measuring the experiments that they're running and what are the results from those experiments, right? So it's a good framework for helping people to fail smart and to measure what they're doing.
Yeah, that's a kind of radical transparency. I think that doesn't exist in many companies, but should. And I agree with you completely, Andy. There has to be a reinforcing mechanism. It can't just be the senior leader standing on the stage saying, we want you to try things and fail if you have to, you know, take smart risks. And going beyond that to really thinking about not only why are we doing it, how are we doing it, role modeling it, but then what are the reinforcing mechanisms? So for example, how many new ideas do you bring forward? Measuring risks in different ways when we're thinking about things like reviews, making sure that managers are also incentive, because if you've got folks, who are working with you or working for you who are taking risks, but it doesn't affect your bonus, that makes it very hard for managers to encourage risk taking and failure.
Mm-hmm. But the culture part about having a culture willing to integrate failure, it needs to be part of their daily actions.
Absolutely.
And we need to, and it becomes part of their daily actions if it's part of their process and if it's part of what they have to measure and report and so on and so forth. So it's just, we need to bring it into what they do. And if you have people or from leadership saying, but you need to do what you've always been doing 90% of the time and you get only 10% to do this, you might not have time for the willingness to do that properly. So this is the balance. The more we work with the transformational or potential disruptive innovation, I think the more we need to look at full-time teams. Otherwise, it's going to be, fall between the cracks.